First Corinthians chapter 12, please open there quickly. First Corinthians, the first letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. Chapter 12. I want someone to read for me. Verse 8 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 11. Yes, we would like to. Yes. Don't worry, we'll come to you. We'll go around. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. Yes. Just push it up. Thank you for noticing. Go on.
For two, one is given. The word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit.
The one and the same Spirit. Who is that Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Continue.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things.
Is the one Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit you received when you got born again. You know, I hope you know that if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He was the one that changed your heart. Amen? You see, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. That's where he is. His physical location. Of course, spiritually, he's everywhere. Amen? Mm. But physically, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But how Jesus lives in you right now is through what? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our own spirit that we are sons of God. It's as many as are led. Hallelujah. If you have never experienced being led by the Spirit of God, you need to get born again. It's as many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? The sons of God. Say, because I'm born again, the Holy Spirit lives in me. I believe it. Hallelujah. I carry the Holy Spirit about. I'm not perfect. Hallelujah. I'm not perfect. But I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm a chosen generation. But we read last time, 1 Peter 2:9, he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Another version says, a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. Revelations 1, he said, he has made us, Revelations 5, he said, he has made us kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. By kings, it means we are seated with him. By priests, it means we minister to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, all these gifts is the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. Please continue. Continue. 11.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Distributing to each.
Listen to that. Distributing. Continue.
To each one individually.
To each one. What? Who is the one there? Each believer. Is it some? Is it distributing to some believers? But what? Each. What does each mean? Every. Hallelujah. If spiritual gifts are not operating my life, it's not the problem of the Holy Spirit. It's my problem. Hallelujah. I'm the one not yielding. I'm the one not cooperating. Oh yes. You will not work at the highest level of spiritual gifts from day one. Just like you will not grow up to be 6 feet from day one. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, you're not going to start speaking in English from day one. You will babble. Huh? You will babble and then you graduate. And then one day you look and say, look. I remember Sean. You know, I was just, you know, when it was growing up, you know, babbling. He started nursery. And then one day I just heard, Daddy, gook! Oh, what a moment. Hallelujah. Of course, gook meant look. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why if you are speaking in tongues and it sounds funny, don't worry. Hallelujah. You've done it as a human being already. Hallelujah. You can graduate also in tongues. Hallelujah. You can graduate in tongues. Hallelujah. It's one spirit. It belongs to you. He distributes it to each one. Why? Continue.
As he wills.
He distributes it to each one as he wills. Hallelujah. Is that all? Can you just read verse 7? Verse 7. Read verse 7.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one.
That's a repetition. The manifestation of the Spirit or the spiritual gifts are given to each one, each believer. Yeah? Yes? How? For what? For what purpose? Continue.
Each one for the profit of all.
For the profit of all, for the benefit of all. Let me explain it. If you read 1 Corinthians later, it talks about we being different parts of the body, different members of the body. Hallelujah. He said even your smallest members, yeah, the one you think they are not important, if they stop working, then you understand how important they are. Hallelujah. There are small members of the body, but there is no less important member of the body. The smallest member of the bodies are the most important. Hallelujah. Every member. Now listen to what each member of the body works to benefit the whole body. That's why if one member of the body is in trouble, the whole body mourns with it. Hallelujah. And he's using that to explain spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, really, the spiritual gift in your life is not primarily for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others. Hallelujah. When I say others, I mean the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That gift operating in your life, God wants to use it to bless others. Then God will also use others to bless you. Hallelujah. And so as one body, we grow together strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just go through the gifts again. He said to one is given a word of wisdom. Let me explain that again. Just a recap from last message. God is the owner of wisdom. God has 100% wisdom. Now, God cannot give you 100% wisdom. It will destroy. You can't know everything God knows. Hallelujah. You will not be able to live again. Amen? So what God gives you is a drop of wisdom that you need for the moment. That's why it's a word. Are you with me? That wisdom is not coming from your brain. Amen? It's coming from above in your time of need. Hallelujah. And wisdom usually has to do with the future. Wisdom does not deal with the past. Wisdom gives you insight into the future. You begin to know what to do or what will happen and how to prepare. Hallelujah. Only God knows the future. Hallelujah. And let me also explain this why we're there, that the future is not perfectly determined by God. God has a plan. When we say God knows the future, it means he has a plan. But your future depends on what you do with the plan. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God has a plan. For example, God has a plan to save souls. But the souls that will be saved depend on those that respond. And also depends on whether we preach or not. Hallelujah. God has a plan to prosper you. But if you decide to lie down your bed and be lazy from morning to evening, that plan will just stay like a plan. Are you with me? Hallelujah. There can be a prophecy in your life that God will use you greatly. Yeah? But if you do nothing about it, it will never happen. Hallelujah. So when we say God knows the future, it means he has a plan. And he also knows the likelihood of events based on the choices of man. Hallelujah. But man's choice plays a role to determine the final outcome. Hallelujah. It's a combination between the sovereignty of God and the will of man. Hallelujah. That's why when some things happen, don't blame God. He said, I know my plans towards you. They are good. I was saying this is own fellowship. You know, sometimes you make your plan and you then ask God to bless it. Huh? That's a very low level of living. The better way is to ask God to help you make the plan. Because the plans you make, there's no blessing in it because it has taken you far away from God's perfect plan. Are you with me? And no matter how much you pray for God to bless it, you've missed it. Hallelujah. God can only do his best. Every time, even when we miss it, God is trying. You know, he's always trying to help. God is always trying. God will say, oh, you've missed it. You made the wrong plan, then I forsake you. No. He said, I will never leave you, nor what. The devil might have done his worst. Hallelujah. But God can do better. I said, it doesn't matter how much bad the devil has done in your life. God can do what? Better. Hallelujah. But it's much better to ask God and say, Father, this is the situation. What should I do? Hallelujah. That may save you days of fasting and praying. Just knowing what God wants you to do and doing it. Hallelujah. So now in my life, I don't really want to do things and say, God bless it. I'm asking him already, which one is the plan? Because you know the future better than I do. Hallelujah. So a word of wisdom is a glimpse into the future. It's supernatural. It's not about your brain. Amen? Sometimes you may just know something supernaturally. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift at work. It may save a life. It may save your life. Hallelujah. It may give you a breakthrough. A word of knowledge is God is the only one that knows everything. You understand that? I don't know everything. Neither do you. No matter how smart you are. God knows what happened in the past. And God knows what is happening right now that you don't know. He can give you a glimpse. So sometimes there are situations that you are trying to solve the problem, you don't know. Then God gives a vision. You can see what happened. You know? And you can see why, what is the problem today, you know, is connected to that. Someone is missing. Nobody knows. People are praying. I'm telling you a real story. Praying for this missing girl. Yeah? Then someone has a vision. They can see them in the exact state they are, in the exact location to her, where who they are with. Yeah? That's a word of knowledge. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. Then the third gift is the gift of the discernment of spirits. Now, some Bibles mistranslate it, and it's because they don't understand it. Discernment of spirit is a gift that works usually with prophets. We call them seers. Hallelujah. It's the ability to see into the spirit. Hallelujah. Let me give an example. You know the story of Prophet Elijah? Elisha. And then you had the Syrian army attacking Israel. And so they came because they knew that the prophet was telling the king what to do, as giving him military strategy. So the army came to the prophet's house to attack him. And this servant of Elijah was really afraid. Yeah? That, the army is here and whatever. And then he not to say, it's because you cannot see. If you could see, you will know that those who are for us are greater than, are more. And I think God opened his eyes. I can't recall that story now. And he saw chariots. So he was seen into the spirit. Amen? It's a discernment of spirit. Now, in our lives, the gift of discernment of spirit will usually manifest in visions and dreams. When someone is seeing a vision, they are discerning into the spirit. Are you with me? Yeah? When you are seeing a vision, it's a discernment of spirit. You are seeing into the spirit realm. It's a gift. It's not by your brain. Okay? The fourth gift, yeah, is the gift of faith. Amen? Now, there's a general faith. Faith comes by what? And hearing by? That one depends on what you do. If you listen to the word of God, if you meditate on the word of God, yeah, if you confess the word of God, your faith will grow. And you will move mountains. He said, if anyone shall say to this mountain, be what? And does not doubt, but believe that what? Those things he says will come to pass. What will he have? Whatever he says. That's faith general. It's available. Any believer can do that. But there is a gift of faith. Now remember, spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. So actually, when it comes to you, the faith you need in your life to overcome your mountains, you need the general faith. You're not going to run away from faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But there's a gift of faith that is just given to you for the moment. It's a bonus. Spiritual gifts are works of the spirit to help. It's a bonus. It's not something that you can say, it's my right. Okay, let me give an example. I shared it before. Jesus was walking on the water. Do you remember that story? There was a big storm. And all disciples were afraid. And then they see Jesus, you know, walking on water in the nighttime, I think. And they say, we say, ghost. Then Jesus said, no, 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 it is me. Now, remember, they were all afraid, including Peter. Then Peter now said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Then Jesus said to him, what? Come. Do you know what happened at that moment? A gift of faith was dropped. It's not from him. You know he was afraid already before. You know Peter was afraid before. They thought it was a ghost, isn't it? So he had no faith. Huh? Peter had no faith. But when Jesus said, come, a gift of faith was put into Peter at that moment, supernaturally. And he had faith to what? To step on the water. Are you with me? It's a gift of faith. Hallelujah. But remember, the Holy Spirit is the one working it, not you. And there's gifts of healings. Now you can have healing using your faith. Just build your faith with the word of God. Continue to believe it. Continue to confess it. You'll be healed. But there are evangelists that go out. Yeah? And they even pray for people who are not yet Christians. Some of them are Muslims. Some of them are pagans. Where, do they have any faith? No. But they put hands on them and they get healed. That's a gift of what? Of healings. Hallelujah. Amen? And there's a gift of working of miracles. I can explain again the difference between healing and miracle. Is healing is putting back something that is broken back into original shape. Miracles is fixing something that was never there. Amen? Something that was never there. Something that is broken, yeah, can be restored. But what if it was never there? Amen? Yeah? Then it's a miracle. Hallelujah. Jesus walking on the water, for example, is what? It's a miracle. Feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves. What is it? It's a miracle. You know? Telling the sun to stand still. That's Joshua. What was that? It's a miracle. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit works them. And then finally, we have the gift of prophecy. But I think it's a very misunderstood gift, and that's why we're not seeing it operate. My goal today is to explain it. Prophecy is not for telling the future. The prophets of the old times who foretold the future, we are using many gifts. To be able to foretell the future, you need gifts of revelation. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Yeah? When you foretell the future, it's a word of wisdom. When you reveal the past, it's a word of knowledge. But prophesying is speaking under inspiration. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians chapter 14. And somebody read to me verse 3. Someone who has not read today. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. Yes. 1 Corinthians, just a minute. I'll give you the mic. 1 Corinthians 14, 3.
But he that prophesies.
He that prophesies. Listen to the definition of prophesying.
Speaketh unto men.
He that prophesies is speaking unto men. Yes.
To edification.
To edify them. And yes.
And exhortation.
And exhort them.
And comfort.
And comfort them. Prophecy as a gift of the Spirit is a speaking gift. It's a speaking gift that enables you to strengthen others or encourage them or charge them up or comfort them. Hallelujah. That's the gift of prophesying. So the prophets of old, they not only operated prophesying, they also operated gifts of revelation. Do you understand? Because everything, a gift of revelation, you're still going to speak it out, isn't it? So you need prophesying. So many gifts operate together. So for example, usually, gifts of healing and miracles operate with gift of faith. Amen? But they are not the same. Okay? Thank you for that. So now let's go to questions. I gave you some background. Now, yeah, I'll answer the rest in questions. So first question is this. Look at the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Oh, no. Quick one before that. Recap on last week. What is the difference between your natural gift and a spiritual gift? What is the difference between a natural gift and a spiritual gift? Yes. I'm not going to give you any clues.
You should know you were there last week. What is the difference between a natural gift and a spiritual gift?
We said last week that a natural gift is something you're born with, like a talent. And a spiritual gift is something that God gives you to for the sole purpose of edifying the church.
Okay. So, a natural gift is something you are born with, like your talents. It's still a gift. Okay? You just say you are born with it. A spiritual gift is something God gives to you after you are born to help you do the work of God. Amen? By the way, the work of God is not just pastoring and evangelist. Anytime you allow God to use you anywhere, you are doing the work of God. I can meet someone in school run. As in going to drop children at school. That's what I mean by school run. And then we are chatting. And I need to, I'm talking to them and they're telling me things. And at that moment, I speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to edify them or comfort them and encourage them. That's a spiritual gift at work. It can be operated. It's not just in the church. Every part of your life, you need supernatural ability. If you're going to do great works for God, you need what? Supernatural. Something beyond your power. So I take that. A spiritual gift is something you receive from God after you have been born that helps you to do the work of God. And usually, that will happen after you have been born again. Oh, it also happens to people who are not born again. According to the mercy of God. Yeah? According to the mercy of God, he allows some gifts to operate. Because God is the God of mercy. It will be less frequent, but he does allow it. Okay? There are people who are not born again that see visions. Yeah? It's still a gift, but it's God's in his mercy. But if you're born again, it should be more frequent. Yes, and any other answer? Difference between natural gift and a spiritual gift. Anybody can improve on that? Particularly the spiritual part. I'm satisfied that a natural gift is your talent. So, Sister Frida, what's your talent? Give us one talent. I know you have many.
Like somebody who is singing.
Singing? Wow, okay. Thank you for telling me that. Now I know what to do. Hallelujah. By the way, she's very good in farming. You need to see the things I eat from my farm. Yeah? Hallelujah. She's more talented in farming than I am. Yes?
I'm not sure about this, but I'm going to say
it
anyway.
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the Bible says God's calling is without repentance. I think natural gifts are without repentance. But spiritual, it is possible for you to engage in things where you have limited access or zero access to spiritual gifts. Whereas you had done it, you had it before. If it is possible for one not to have it again. But natural gifts just can remain with you.
Okay. Yes. There's a factor there. So basically, natural gifts, you are born with them. Whether you believe God or not, they are with you. You have them. Isn't it? There are people who are not born again, but they are very good in what they are doing. Some people are the most brilliant in school. Some people are the, most, smart at work, and they are not born again. It's a natural gift. It's still from God, but it's permanently with you. Okay? But the other side, I will say, where all gifts come from God. Yeah? Usually when God has given you something, he has given you, he's not going to take it back. It's up to you whether you use it for his glory or not. But there are some things that will die. There are some spiritual gifts in your life that will not operate if you are not faithful. Do you get it? But I think there's a difference between gifts and callings. Gifts may not operate, but if you have a calling, it's always there. You may not fulfill it, but God doesn't change his mind about the calling. If God has called you to be a pastor, you may live and die and never be a pastor. It wasn't God that failed. It was you that failed. If you repent 1 year before you die, you can still be a pastor for that 1 year. If you've been a criminal all your life and you repent and that calling is to be a pastor, God can still use you as a pastor. He won't say, because you've been a criminal all your life, he will not use you. Okay? He's a faithful God. Yes? One more answer.
I think, so you have the natural gift and the spiritual gift, you need to have the Holy Spirit.
Because the Holy Spirit.
Because also, God sometimes can even manifest himself to people that they are not even Christian. They can use them as a canal, but is that also like a gift for them to know, to prophesy, that's like a stranger coming to prophesy to you.
What I would give is that, as a believer, to walk in a spiritual gift, you need the Holy Spirit in you. But of course, you are born again. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, for someone who is not a believer, God can use them, the devil can use them. You know? And so I will not depend on any gift, spiritual, not natural, spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift operating to someone who does not believe in Jesus. Yeah? I will not depend on it. Because it could be God, but a greater chance that it could also be the devil. Do you see? So that's not to be depended on. Because we have to understand that the devil can tell you some truth, some things that are true, but he will then use that to mislead you. That's the problem with the spirit of divination. That's why Bible says we should not visit people, you know, who make divination. Because what they will do is that they will tell you something that are true about your life. They use that to impress you and catch your attention. Then they mislead you. Okay? So that's why if you are seeking for direction, you are seeking for breakthrough, you don't go to the devil and to the occult. You understand? Even if there's some element of truth in what they are doing, it's never going to be totally true. They are always there to manipulate. Okay? It's only God that is light and there's no darkness in him at all. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Let's ask the next question. Okay. Quick one. Let me see how. There are three categories of spiritual gifts. If you look at them in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, there are nine of them. Nine. There are nine spiritual gifts. Check your Bible. Yeah? And there are three categories of spiritual gifts. What are those categories? So see, look at them all. Try to classify them into three groups. Based on what they are doing. So some gifts belong together, and some others belong together, and some others belong together based on what they're doing. So anybody help me with the three categories of spiritual gifts? Three categories of spiritual gifts? What are the three categories? There are nine of them. Three of them belong to one group, another three to one group, another three to one group, based on how they are operating. Just look at their behavior. So there are three gifts that behave similar. They are doing something similarly. And there are another three gifts that behave similar and another. Yes, let's try our young people. Are you there? Look at the spiritual gifts. Verse 8 to 11. And see if you can group them. Some gifts do something, and some other gifts do something, and some other gifts do something.
Is it prophets, and then apostles, and then teachers?
Those are offices. So I'm looking at verse 8 to 11. There are gifts, there are nine gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, healings and miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Yeah, what are the three groups of spiritual gifts that you can see there? Yes? Yeah, go on.
One of them is utterance.
Yes, there are gifts of utterance. So three of the gifts are speaking gifts. Prophesying is a speaking gift. Amen? When you come and speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When you receive a word from God, yeah, and you speak it into the church or into the life of other people, it's called what? Prophesy. You know, when I was reading the Bible before, he said Philip had four daughters. That's evangelist. Philip the evangelist is in the book of Acts. He had four daughters who prophesied. He did not say he had four daughters that are prophets. They are not the same thing. They prophesied. That doesn't mean they are what? Prophets. In fact, I want to tell you that in every believer can speak in tongues if they want to. And every believer can prophesy. Hallelujah. To prophesy means for you to allow the Holy Spirit speak through you. Prophesy means for you to receive a word from God and then speak it out to bless others. To speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a way that blesses others. Yeah, or wants them, or directs them, or encourages them. That's prophesying. Amen. So there are three gifts of utterance. Prophesying, or prophecy, but I like to call it prophesying. Speaking in tongues, it's all about speaking. It's not doing anything. It's just what? Speaking. And then interpretation of tongues. It means that There's a gift where someone can come out, especially. Now, she started off to say what God was telling her. But instead of telling us in English, she was telling us in what? In tongues. We don't understand what she said. But she's inspired. The message is in her spirit, it's like a burden. And she's just speaking it in tongues. Now, if she does that and goes, it has not helped us. Because we don't understand, there's another gift that we enable her to interpret. Not translate. You don't translate tongues, you interpret it. You can speak one line in tongues, and interpretation is 100 lines. You can speak 100 lines in tongues, and interpretation is one line. Amen? So, and yes, so there are gifts of utterance. Any other category? Which other category? Yes, Sister Frida first.
I would say knowledge.
Yes, there are gifts of knowledge, or I'll call it revelation. Three of the gifts are revelation. The word of knowledge, obviously, is a revelation about the past or the present. The word of wisdom is a revelation about the future. Then the discerning of spirit is a revelation into what is happening in the spirit that we can't see, but it's affecting us. Amen? So three gifts of utterance, three gifts of revelation, one more, and three gifts of
power,
but I won't call it power. You know why I won't call it power? Because all of them are gifts of power. Revelation is power. Huh? There's a situation that the only power that you need in that situation is revelation. To know something. Yeah? Healing will not help you in that situation. You need to know what happened or what will happen or what is happening. Can you see? So it's a powerful gift. Utterance is power. Someone is down and depressed. Yeah? Healing may not help them. There are some people are depressed. You can lay hands on them. You will never solve their problem. You pray for them, they are still going to go back and depressed. If you like cast out demons, you are wasting your time. What they need at that time is to hear. They hear the word of God that ministers to them personally. It's a gift of utterance. It doesn't come from the brain. It comes from the spirit. Someone is, you know, lonely or bereaved. What they need? Gift of healing or gift of prophesying. They need to hear. And they don't just hear anything. It's the particular word they need that the Holy Spirit knows that we comfort them. Can you see? So that's also powerful. So I know we call them gifts of power, and you're right. You know, in the traditional Christian circles, we say gift of faith, gift of healings, and gift of working out, because I'm gifts of power. But I want to change it because I say they are all gifts of power. So I call them gifts of performance. So there are three gifts that say something. There are three gifts that do something. Yeah? Faith, healings, and working of miracles do something. And there are three gifts that know something. Amen? You see? Three gifts of utterance, three gifts of revelation, and three gifts of power. Time is gone. Let me ask one more question. We finish there. Okay, this is the question. But I'll continue next week because I've just scratched the surface of this message. From what we read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, what is the most important spiritual gift needed in the church? Is that Claudia, you're going to answer that question first. I see today you're not concentrated. It's like having a battle between you and the lady beside you. Amen. What's the most important spiritual gift needed in the church? Like any spiritual church or any church? Is there? Sister Amanda first. That's the last question.
Obedience.
Obedience is not a spiritual gift. Obedience is a spiritual discipline. Amen? Obedience is what? A spiritual discipline. Obedience is something you do. There are some things that are discipline. You understand? It's a spiritual discipline. So, the answer is between, it's one of the nine. Maybe you didn't get my question. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. There are nine of them there. You want to give me one of them, which is the most important or the one needed most, let me say, in the church. Now listen, I didn't say it's the one needed most in the world. Don't misunderstand me. It may not be the one needed most in the world, but it's the one needed most in the church. And then you give me the reason why you think so. Yes, go on.
I think it's a gift of prophecy.
Prophecy. Call it prophesying.
Prophesying.
And why?
I think it's...
Maybe you can give me a Bible verse or just say what you think. No, tell me what you think first. I'm interested.
For me, it's because God's word is always timely.
Okay.
And it's always specific and it's always...
Yes, that's good enough. This is good enough. You tried. You tried. Yes? Why is prophesying the most important, the spiritual gift needed most in the church? Or in a church meeting?
Yeah, it's because it edifies the church.
Amen.
And yeah, people benefit from it.
Amen. Let me just come there. Yes, do you want to say something before I say? Do you want to say something? You don't have to. Do you want to? Yeah.
No, I wanted to say that.
You know why? You know, now you can see one of the reasons why I allow people to talk in church. Amen? Because we need to hear from the Spirit.
Hallelujah. I would say that's the spirit of knowledge.
Okay. You think it's the word of knowledge, not spirit.
Yeah, the word of knowledge. Yes.
Okay. By the way, the answer has been given. You don't need to go back.
I just want to emphasize that by the gift of prophecy.
Prophesying, yes.
Prophesy.
Okay, call it prophecy, but prophesy. Yeah.
It help also with the faith.
So yes, it stimulates. Can stimulate your faith. Yeah, your personal faith. Yes, one more. The answer is gift of prophesying or prophecy. So just tell us a bit more. Yes?
I will call it encouraging and strengthening.
Yes, encouraging and strengthening. And that's the same thing as edifying. Edifying is just the old. Edifying is the old English. But if you ask me as a pastor, say, what's the word that summarizes all? It's edifying. It's a strong word. Edifying is the same. He said the Greek word that they translated to edifying is the same word that interprets like when you are charging your phone. You know, your battery is out and you are recharging it. That's edifying. That includes encouraging and strengthening and comforting. Yes? Did I see a hand up? I saw a hand up. Yes. Yes, go on.
Is there any intersection between prophesying and interpretation of tongues?
Absolutely. Let me just quickly answer that, but I'll say that next time. You see, if you take speaking in tongues, now remember, don't misunderstand. If you are speaking also praying in tongues, that's between you and God. You are the one being edified personally. No other gift will edify you personally like speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. You understand? If you want to be edified personally in your prayer time, at home, on the street, wherever, you need to pray in tongues. But when you want to edify the church, like I'm preaching now, I can't preach to you in tongues without interpretation. Now, when you speak in tongues to the church plus interpretation equals prophesying. Hello? Someone came and spoke under the inspiration of the Spirit and interpreted it. They prophesied. Amen? The reason why prophesying is the most important gift needed in the church is that when we come to church meetings, why do we come? Tell me why we come to church. Tell me. Why do you come to church?
To hear the word.
Why do you need to hear the word? What does it do for you? What does the word do for you? Okay, let's not discourage her. You got the answer, by the way. You come to church to be edified. Amen? You come to church what? To recharge. Amen? You come to church to be strengthened. You come to church to be encouraged. You were discouraged and down. Yeah? And I keep praying, say, when you are discouraged, don't stay home. Come to church. No, you're not coming to church to impress anybody. You're coming to church to be fed and edified and encouraged and comforted. Amen? Amen? Now, there's nothing that will comfort you more than what is coming from the Holy Spirit. If I came now, I just preach you a sermon, I prepared my sermon notes, and just speaking from my head, it will not really help you. I need to speak on that word, the inspiration. And not just only me, all of us. So when you come to church, someone came forward and said something that's been bothering you, pastor does not know. And maybe we never know. Are you with me? But the Holy Spirit knows. Maybe God has even said, talk to pastor. He said, no, I can't tell pastor. Then this sister comes forward and says, the Lord is ministering to me. You know that some people here, this is what you are going through, and this is what the Lord is saying. They're not giving you any direction for the future. They're just telling you what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that will strengthen you, will encourage you, it will exhort you, it will edify you. That gives you a turnaround. It's like God spoke to you. Amen? That's why Paul said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. And I want you to. That shows that that's the foundational gift. But also, or rather, that you are prophesying. When you are in a meeting. If you are on your own. Just speak it now. If you are in a meeting. If you are praying, pray in tongues still. You are talking to God. Are you talking to me? No. But when it comes to the meeting, we must be speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We will be strengthened. The whole church will be strengthened. Nobody will be left behind. Sometimes I prepare a sermon and it's at a topic. I'm already focused on that area. But maybe somebody needs to hear something else that day. How will they hear it? Tracy Sachelli. When she comes out and prophesies, she just speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to feel funny before you prophesy. You don't need to be shaking. Hallelujah. It's not a shaking issue. Some people shake. It's just they're just emotional. Do you understand? Some people, when God touches them, they cry. It's okay. You don't need to cry before God will touch you. But if you cry, it's okay. Amen? You just need to know in your spirit, then just yield and let God use you. Amen. Let's stop there. Let's rise up and pray. Time. We started this sermon late anyway, so time is gone. We continue next week. But my prayer today, what I want you to pray is that I'm telling you that prophesying belongs to you. Amen. You can be at home as a father praying with your family and your children. Then you prophesy. The word will just come in. It doesn't need any preparation. All you need to do is you are praising God. Then you just feel that word in your spirit and you just speak it out. You don't even need to say, this is what God is saying. You just speak from your spirit. And it will bless your life. It will help a life. It will transform a life. Hallelujah. You cannot predict what the Holy Spirit has to say. That's why you just need to yield and say. That's what we call what? Prophesying. That's what we need most. In this ministry, if you all start prophesying, this church will grow 10 times faster. Hallelujah. Wind is the most important gift. Edification. Even when I'm preaching a sermon, I always pray the Holy Spirit, speak through me. That's utterance. That's prophesying. Because it really blesses lives more than just from your head. So one prayer point today. One prayer point. I want you to desire and pray to God today that you want to start prophesying. You don't need anything. You see, there are some gifts that you need. For example, someone who is working miracles. Not everybody working miracles. But the evangelist who goes around preaching, doing crusades, needs to work miracles. Can you see? The need is higher in his life. But prophesying, because we're in church, we all need to prophesy. That's why when we come out to share testimonies, that's an opportunity to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pray to God, say, Father, I understand today that prophesying belongs to me. And I desire to start prophesying more. In fact, I don't have any doubt that you prophesied before. You just didn't know it. But you can do it more and know it. Amen. That's what we want. You have said you have prophesied before. But now, I want you to be more conscious and do it more often. Whether in church meetings, or in home fellowship, or in prayer cell, or in prayer meeting, or even on the street, when you see your brother or sister, you can prophesy if you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. So pray for what I desire. I desire the spiritual gift. Come on, pray. I desire the spiritual gift of prophecy, to prophesy. And I yield myself as on today to prophesy more, which means to speak more under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, unto edification and exhortation and comfort, unto strengthening and encouraging and comforting others. I yield to be a vessel you can use to speak life, to speak the word, life, into others. In Jesus' name.